You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk some dogs with Connor Riley. Dogs. And we do it every day. It's brought to you by our friends at BrightBox, Mike.
BrightBoxElectrical.com, guys. BRITE, BrightBox Electrical for Man Cave, Home Studios. Whatever you're doing, man. Carl, they're going to wire the house now for the new pool heater. The bills keep coming. BrightBox does make it easy for you. BrightBoxElectrical.com.
Well, you want to be connected. Connor Riley.
By the way, do you think it's rude if I start charging a cover when my friends come over to the pool this summer?
No.
Connor,
no.
You want to come over? It's a $50 cover.
Oh, no. I mean, I just.
I was hoping I could do more. It'd be like $15, but $50 might be a bit steep for me.
Well, it's unlimited drinks. Unlimited drinks, Carl.
Oh, well, then there you go. We have that covered.
All the vodka you can drink. Connor Riley's with Dog Nation. There is a lot going on, man. And we could start in a variety of places. I want to start with Will Muschamp. What do you know about his current situation with Georgia? And then why does Dan Lanning decide to stay if you know the reasoning behind this? Because a lot of people at Texas, just my sources, had thought that he would go because of the money that might be offered. What do you know about this Muschamp Lanning situation?
Yeah, so I don't remember if I told you guys before, but in our reporting at Dog Nation, we've sort of made it be known that Will Muschamp has been around the program. He and Kirby Smart obviously have a very good relationship. Will Muschamp's son, Jackson, is a freshman walk-on on the team. I know there was a report out there today that he is now officially employed at Georgia. We have not been able to confirm that just yet. He's been around the program. And with regards to Lanning, I don't think that Muschamp is going to be in an on-field role for Georgia next year, whether that would have been the defensive coordinator spot or their current defensive backs opening. But Lanning is a really polished, really impressive guy, and it makes sense why a school like Texas would want to go out and bring him in, especially with Kirby Smart being the head coach of Georgia. He's always going to have his hands on the defense and involving it there. Whereas at Texas, Steve Sarkisian takes over there. You mentioned money. Texas has deeper pockets than anybody, and they'll have some real autonomy on that side of the ball in terms of, you know, developing and who to really go after there. But ultimately, I think you look at, you know, a big reason I think Lanning came back, I do think he's ultimately going to end up getting a raise by choosing to stay at Georgia, probably not what he would have made at Texas. But you look at the sort of path to becoming a head coach, and I think that's what he's ultimately going to become. If you go to Texas next season, and one of the things Texas has had is they've had issues slowing people down. If you go to Texas, it's probably another 2-3 years before you get elevated to be a head coach, because if there's any immediate success there, it's going to go to Sarkisian. Whereas I think at Georgia, if Georgia does what it's supposed to do next year, if Georgia plays really well, wins the SEC, gets into a college football playoff, Lanning's going to get looked at for a lot of jobs. I know the Georgia defense didn't play great against Alabama and Florida this year, but last two seasons they finished first in S&P Plus, which is a metric that sort of ranks defenses. They finished first in the SEC in yards allowed per play. So in terms of being a head coach quicker, which is what I think Lanning ultimately wants to do, I think the path there was quicker at Georgia, and I think that was enough to offset the money he would have ended up making at Texas.
We've talked so much about guys that are staying at Georgia. Are they going to miss a guy like Azeez Ojulari?
Yes, because what Azeez also does, like, he actually started to get the sacks later in the season, 3 sacks in the Peach Bowl. You saw what he could do there. But from a production standpoint, I think Adam Anderson and Nolan Smith are going to be able to provide that in terms of a pass rush. But Azeez was such a good early down player against the run, a big reason Georgia finished first in the country and run defense in each of the last 2 seasons. And, you know, it's unknown if Nolan Smith is really going to be able to step right in and replace all that Azeez did in a run defense way. And ultimately, I don't think Adam Anderson is that type of player in the first place. So they have guys to potentially replace his production, But I don't know if they have right now a player that is singularly as good as Aziz Ojulari was, especially at the end of the 2020 season.
Connor, a lot of dogs participating in the Senior Bowl. I've seen more guys that I didn't think would. I'm not talking about specifically dogs. I'm just in the SEC. I mean, I was kind of shocked. You know, Mac Jones is going to participate. Trask, I'm like, okay, didn't you guys do enough during the season? The tape should speak for itself. But I also think, you know, everybody's trying to improve their draft status, and with no real combine, with it being virtual this year, how many dogs are going to participate?
There are seven, and that does not count Jamie Newman, who will also be there. But, yeah, seven guys, I believe, going off the top of my head here. Trey McKitty, Ben Cleveland, Malik Herring, Monty Rice, DJ Daniel, Mark Webb, and Richard LeCount are the seven from Georgia. And this is something, and you had a couple of those guys sit out the bowl game, but I think the big reason for that is scouts were not able to get out and go to games in person this year as frequently as they have been in the past. So getting that on-field instruction and the ability and just the fact that NFL people are going to be able to see you in person down there on Mobile, I think presents a tremendous opportunity for a lot of those guys. I think that's part of the reason why you even see guys like Devontae Smith and Mac Jones get a chance to go there, especially now that the combine has been essentially canceled in its traditional form. It's another opportunity for these NFL scouts to see you in person, to talk to you, when in reality they haven't really had a chance to do a whole lot of this year in the run-up to the Senior Bowl. So it's a really big opportunity for those guys, the Georgia players included.
Right. Are they going to do – I mean, we've understood that they're going to have – everybody's pro day obviously means – and George is going to be a pro day where all the NFL scouts would be there too. Are they still going to have plans to do that? I mean, I know they got the room now with all the upgrades they've made out in Athens.
Right, yes. They are finishing a new state-of-the-art football facility out there in Athens that I believe should be done. I don't know. It depends when their pro day is. It's a projected completion date around March and April, I believe. But, yeah, it's an event that is bigger and bigger every year at Georgia, just given how Kirby Smart has built up this program. And with Georgia not really having a pro – didn't have a pro day last year, it's a really big opportunity, especially for some of the juniors. You mentioned Aziz Ojulari, Tyson Campbell, Eric Stokes. Those names come to mind of guys that those pro days are now going to be – incredibly important to impress NFL scouts and decision makers.
And hey, Carl, I just want to follow up with Connor real quick. Sure. It's Connor Riley, by the way, from Dog Nation. Sorry about that. Spring football, because I'm not asking you to get in a crystal ball here, but the SEC going to allow that? I mean, no, I don't expect to have fans in the stadium, but is that something, because the whole rhythm of spring football went out the window, obviously, with COVID, and it really affected the dogs.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I do think we're going to have spring practice this year. I do think they're going to have a spring game. And the big thing, the difference, obviously COVID is still going to be an issue, but having had the season and knowing how to do things and having gone through that, I think that's given them a successful template to see how they could replicate that for spring practice. Whereas, you know, last year, literally everything was getting closed down and shut down the Friday before Georgia was set to start spring practice. And they really didn't have a plan to how to combat COVID. And a lot of the SEC schools didn't. So I think now that we've seen that these institutions have a plan, they know how to handle things, especially at a conference level, I think that's going to allow for spring practice and some normalcy in the sport this offseason.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's Connor Riley. Let's talk about Tennessee. It's a mess. AD, they needed AD. All right. The word is that the AD is going to hire the new head coach. We don't know what the timing is for that. Here's my big issue, Connor, and for everybody who goes, oh, well, they'll be fine. We don't know what the penalty is going to be from the NCAA. Nope. They're talking about level one violations. So you got to wait to see how that's going to play out. What does Tennessee do with the coaching situation? Kevin Steele's there. Is he the guy now?
Yeah, he is the interim coach. If I'm in charge of Tennessee, I have a lot to clean up. I think they have to nail the athletic director hire first. I think you kind of have to admit that 2021 is a lost season at this point, and that's a real tough pill to swallow for a lot of players, especially the guys that just signed there a few days ago. But Tennessee so clearly wants to be great. They have the ambition. They have the pockets. I think they have, you know, enough cachet and recruiting prowess to get really good players. But this program, top down, it's not just the head coach, and it's not even just the athletic director. They need adults in the room. They need people that are saying, hey, we have to be patient with this. It's not going to be a quick fix. It's not going to be a quick turnaround. This next head coach, I believe, will be Tennessee's fifth head coach since the last SEC East title. Georgia has five SEC East titles in that time. Tennessee, again, I think they're going to take their time with this. They have to hire the right athletic director. I think they should let Kevin Steele sort of coach out the 2021 season as an interim coach and then sort of figure it out a year from now. And obviously that puts all these players in a really tough position. But for the long-term health of Tennessee, and this is a program that has loved to rush things. You know, you look at Butch Jones, you look at Jeremy Pruitt, the first time they really ran into struggles on the field, Tennessee just said, all right, we're done, we're moving on, we're going to try and hire somebody else and get out of here quickly. And you can't keep doing that because you just continue to build yourself a bigger hole, which is where Tennessee is now. And they're staring down the fact of, all right, well, we've got to hire a new athletic director, hire a new head coach. And the reality is that's probably going to take enough time to where, you know, who knows what our 2021 season ultimately ends up looking like.
It's beyond a soap opera. It's Connor Riley, guys, with our dog report and SEC stuff. As Carl and I were talking about yesterday, Mark Stoops' comments, like, I'm not surprised at all about what's going on. And then he expanded on that in a separate interview. Apparently, Pruitt was totally negative anti-selling Kentucky, amongst others. And that, and that's just, I mean, we know what happens, but when coaches know about it, does that surprise you? Because Pruitt had some rough edges, but I think it was that rough.
No. So I was around. I was still in college at the time, covering the Georgia program in 2014 and 2015 when he was the defensive coordinator there. And Jeremy Pruitt, in terms of everything X and O's, relating to players, being able to talk to players, is great. But the off the field drama was very, very bad there at Georgia, and he was the root of a lot of it at the end of the Mark Richt era. And it doesn't surprise me that he ran into some of those issues at Tennessee. Aaron Murray had some very pointed comments back in 2018 when Pruitt had sort of first gotten hired and was getting started for that job. Murray had mentioned he didn't know if Jeremy Pruitt had that CEO mentality. And I absolutely agree with that. I think he's great at managing on a smaller level, sort of micromanaging. But from a big picture standpoint, Pruitt just has not been that guy. I certainly understand Stoops' comments in regards to that, and you saw this past season. Stoops and Kentucky do sort of run things completely opposite to way Tennessee does, where they have patiently built this program up to a really respectable level in a program that, you know, they beat a Florida a few years ago, they beat the brakes off of Tennessee this year. So it doesn't surprise me that someone like Stoops, who runs so counter to what Jeremy Pruitt does, and it's funny because at Florida State, Pruitt was the guy that replaced Stoops as the defensive coordinator there. So there's maybe a little bit of extra blood in there. But it does not surprise me at all that the Jeremy Pruitt era has sort of come to an end in the fashion that it did, with Tennessee essentially trying to cut off its own arm to get out of this mess that he had helped create.
Connor, great job. Great info. Follow him on social media. Give out your Twitter address so people know where you're at.
Yeah. It is at K. Connor Riley on Twitter. You can read all of our work on Dog Nation. I really appreciate talking to you guys this week.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.